You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tomorrow at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app, it's the 86th annual Heisman Trophy Ceremony, the first ever virtual presentation. The finalists, Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Trevor Lawrence, and Kyle Trask. We'll see who gets the prize tomorrow night. Rex, who you got in that? Who do you think wins it? Does the receiver finally break through?
No, because, see, those two guys, you get two Alabama kids, so I don't think they're gonna do it. So. You
Trevor
know,
Lawrence,
I,
you think? I'm
going to say Trevor Lawrence, and there's no way, because I actually thought they were going to kill Ohio State, so that, how'd that work out?
We'll find out tomorrow how it all plays out. Meanwhile, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up, as always, live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Greeny and Rex and RC and Dan, we're ready to go. It's time to get up with Sunday Night Controversy. What did the Eagles do? Why did they do it? And why is everyone calling it a disgrace? We will begin there. Then, hello, Cleveland. A generation later, the Browns are back. How deep can this team take this run? And the road to the Super Bowl will go through the frozen tundra. Is this the team to beat? And did the QB lock up the MVP? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you, starting right now with the last game of the National Football League season. Washington winning, you're in. Philadelphia playing for pride, or in the case of last night, showing none. Here we go, Jalen Hurts, down 10-0 early. Danny's using his legs.
Yes, a nice job by him of realizing the RPO is covered. They're playing man defense. No one has the perimeter. I can use my speed to get to the end zone. Early touchdown, Philly.
And then he's using his arm.
Great job of climbing the pocket. You see that pressure from the outside, climb the pocket, and then give that receiver kind of that high physical ball to go make that catch.
And then he runs it in for another touchdown. So the Eagles take the lead, and he's the first Eagle quarterback with two rushing touchdowns in a game in 10 years since Michael Vick. On the other side, Alex Smith trying to get his team to the playoffs, throwing it up for Logan Thomas.
Yeah, you get cover three, and that backside linebacker is going to turn your back to you as a quarterback. Just give your tight end, especially in the red zone, a high ball to chance to go make that catch. Alex Smith just does just that.
And then here's the big moment. Washington with the turnover, Marcus Epps with the pick. And so if you're rooting for the Giants to get in the playoffs, you're thinking big things. Third down, Dan, Jalen Hurts.
He's scrambling, trying to make a play, and he kind of just misses or throws that ball away to Zach Ertz. It becomes decision-making time. Down just three, get a little bit of a flash fake play-action pass, and he's got his receiver kind of snapping to the back of the end zone. He's wide open, just misses the throw.
So they eschew the field goal, and then they eschew the quarterback. Jalen Hurts goes to the bench in the fourth quarter, and they bring in Nate Sudfeld because the coach wanted to get him some snaps. How'd that work out? This is basically a punt that he throws to Jeremy Reeves. Washington takes over. They're going the other way. And then after the Eagles get the ball back on an interception, they do this. He can't even handle the snap. The Washington football team wins the division. The Philadelphia Eagles lose the respect of pretty much everybody. Doug Peterson, what?
That was my decision solely. Nate has obviously been here for 4 years, and I felt that he deserved an opportunity to get some snaps. And listen, if there's anything out there that thinks that I was not trying to win the game, I mean, you know, Ertz is out there, Brandon Graham's out there, Darius Slay's out there. You know, all our top guys are still on the field at the end.
All right, I want you to see what Chris Mortensen tweeted yesterday, because you know how long he's been around and you know how measured he is. So for Chris Mortensen to say this is the most negative barrage of comments I've received about a game's lack, pardon me, of integrity, and that's not even counting Giants-related bias, consensus from those in the NFL and who've been associated with it, disgrace. And he points out that's not the fault of the Washington football team. No one is blaming the Washington football team. Everyone is blaming the Eagles, and in particular, their coach. And, you know, RC, I thought you said it really well. The NFL got through 255 games this year. We were not promised a season this season. What should we say about the 256th and last one?
They should have let that one get canceled. That if you were going to fight so hard to get 256, that shouldn't have been the last one. Or maybe you should have evaluated who was going to be a part of this game, their commitment to winning, their commitment to competing in games that are still meaningful. This game is still meaningful, not necessarily from the standpoint of the Philadelphia Eagles getting into the playoffs, but for finishing the season the way that Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings did, or that Matt Stafford and the Detroit Lions who were playing them for, the Kansas City Chiefs who were playing, or the Los Angeles Chargers who were playing Kansas City Chiefs while they were playing backups and resting their guys. Deshaun Watson, the way he tried to finish against the Tennessee Titans. This is what the good teams do. This is what the people who understand what the NFL is about do. And the NFL fought through a pandemic to bring you 17 weeks of football, and they refused to lose. They refused to let up. But Doug Peterson did not. He didn't refuse to lose. He didn't refuse to let up. He gave it away. And he stole it from us all.
We're going to have some breaking news for you in just a moment. But Rex, I did want to touch on this with you here, which is if Doug Peterson is interested in being out of Philadelphia, this would be an interesting way to try and engineer something like that.
Yeah, man, it was just such a horrible look. I mean, it really was. And it looked like, look, I get it. They were punting on the season. They had guys that, tons of injured guys, how injured they were, I don't know. But it looked like, we're just going to punt on the season anyway. But when you pulled the young man at Hurts, when you did in the fourth quarter, it looked like, come on, you're trying like hell to get out of there. And that's what it did. And for every fan of football, not just Giant fans, we were all disgusted by this.
Yeah, it was difficult to believe. And to say that Nate Sudfeld, you wanted to get him some snaps because he's been there 4 years. He's not a senior in college. I don't have any idea what that's supposed to even mean in a regular season game. Dan Orlovsky, what?
Yeah, Greeny, I want to hit on three things when it comes to this. So I've heard a lot of people say, like, why is it okay for the Jets to, for it to have been better for them to win the game so they secure that first pick? Obviously, Jacksonville does. Because, again, when you are a front office, you are on board with tanking. When you're going to get the number one pick, you're blowing everything up more than likely. You're at least firing your coach, and now you control everything, especially with a generational talent at quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. That's why it's different. Even going from the ninth pick to the sixth pick, which is what happens because of Philly losing this game, you still don't control everything. When you have the first pick, you do. So front offices will tank and think it's okay. The coaches, they did it in New York. That's the difference. That's the difference from last night. It looks like they tanked as a coaching staff last night, or the coach. The second thing is, don't compare this to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh played 5 games in 25 days. They got a quarterback that's 40 years old. He needs rest going into the playoffs. Don't compare it to the Chiefs. They have a $500 million quarterback. That the most important thing is him right. to be healthy going into the playoffs. It's a completely different situation than sitting guys to get ready for a Super Bowl run.
I would love to yell and scream about this myself because I think there's so much to be said, but we do have breaking news. It is not a surprise, but it is significant, and Adam Schefter, as always, has it for us. Schefty, what can you tell us?
Well, and that's well said, Greeny. The Jacksonville Jaguars this morning parted ways with their head coach, Doug Marrone, moved in a different direction. I think a lot of people saw this coming. They changed general managers about a month ago, getting rid of Dave Caldwell, and now this morning they've parted ways with Doug Marrone, a man who a couple of years ago got this team to the AFC Championship game. Jacksonville is probably the most desirable job out there at this point in time. They have the number one overall pick. They have over $100 million in cap space. They've got 11 total picks. This becomes the number one job out there, with all due respect to all the others, because it offers so much. But Jacksonville this morning moved in a different direction. The Jaguars now join the New York Jets, the Detroit Lions, Atlanta Falcons, and Houston Texans as teams with head coach openings this morning.
Okay, so I have a variety of follow-up questions for you. Let's start with where else you are keeping a close eye on today.
Well, let me say this, Greeny. Just moments ago, the Bengals announced that Zach Taylor will return for this season. I don't think that's a surprise to a lot of people, but again, the Bengals struggled for a second straight year. They have Joe Burrow coming off the ACL injury, and Zach Taylor will return as the Bengals head coach, which came from Mike Brown this morning. Now, today, I think people are watching the Los Angeles Chargers. Anthony Lynn won his last four games, has had over 100 starts missed due to injury. But a lot of people wondering what's going to happen there in Los Angeles with a man who a couple of years ago was a finalist for the NFL Coach of the Year and now is obviously on a hot seat. That would be the one other spot from a head coaching perspective to watch today. That would bring it to six total openings in all, which is a little bit under the annual average for the NFL on a yearly basis.
Yeah, and there's frequently a surprise, one that we didn't see coming. So we'll see if we wind up getting that this year. And then let me go back to your previous thought about Jacksonville. Is it too soon to be thinking about candidates for the openings, in particular the one you just described, and I think rightfully so, as the one so many people will be drawn to because of the Trevor Lawrence and all the cap space?
Well, the first name that'll come up, of course, will be Urban Meyer, because essentially he has been pondering the idea of returning or at least making a move to the NFL. And so people know that he's coached in Florida, and I think that that's something that he's been sifting through in recent weeks, trying to decide whether or not to make the jump to the NFL level. And we'll see whether he does or doesn't. But that is a big decision. If he decides to go to the NFL, and he's clearly thinking about that over the last couple of weeks, that would be a candidate for the Jacksonville job and somebody that would garner a lot of attention. They've already interviewed some general manager candidates at this point in time. I think they've interviewed Rick Smith, the former Texas GM, Jerry Reese. I think Louis Riddick has spoken to them. So there have been a number of people involved for the general manager job. But again, this is the most desirable job out there because of the number one pick, because of all the picks, because of all the cap space, because of the market it's in. So we'll see what Jacksonville decides to do. But Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell, the former tandem that got this team to the AFC Championship, is no longer.
All right, Shefty, outstanding as always. And we will stay very close to you and your ever-present phone, and we'll see what winds up developing as this day goes on. Meanwhile, after 18 long years, Baker and the Browns are in the playoffs. How he turned his game around in time to get Cleveland back where it has been so long absent. And then lots of star power in the wild card round of the playoffs. Question is, who's got their team poised for the deepest playoff run? We've got that answer and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on ESPN and back on Week 17 action, and the drought is over. After a generation, 18 years out of the playoffs, the Browns are trying to play their way back in, Dan, yesterday, and they were riding Nick Chubb.
So early on, you saw the change from the line of scrimmage of that offensive line. And then, you know, one of the things that makes Chubb so special, he's physical, but he's also fast enough to run away from the defense.
And then it's Baker Mayfield making plays where they're there. They're up 10-9. And then he's got his tight end, Austin Hooper.
Yeah, Greeny, they ran this same play in the first half early, and he missed it. This time he snaps his eyes backside and finds Hooper on that shallow cross.
On the other side, you had Mason Rudolph had some good moments, and then he had this moment.
Really good pressure package out of their defense. Myles Garrett actually drops into coverage, and that pressure forces Mason Rudolph to float that football. Finally, Cleveland's defense creating some turnovers.
And with a chance to, they flip the field because it goes to the fourth quarter, and then they flip it to Jarvis Landry, and he's in, and the Browns are in charge.
How about that play? A little bit of jet sweep, goal line handoff to Landry, which I love, but this is something Pittsburgh needs. The deep ball to Chase Claypool. Physical enough to kind of out-jump or out-extend that defensive back to make that catch happen a couple times in yesterday's game.
That one makes it 24-16, and then the Steelers are down there again, and this one to Juju Smith-Schuster makes it a two-point game. The two-point conversion would tie it, Dan. What do you think of the play?
I don't mind the play at all, but you at some point got to give your guy a chance to get his hands on the football. Mason Rudolph, scramble around, something like that. Give your guy a shot.
Steelers then have one more chance on the onside kick. Steven Carlson is the Cleveland Brown. You're going to see it here. He's number 89. Watch where that ball is. It's between the wickets. Somehow he comes out with the football and gives Baker Mayfield the chance to ice it.
This is an awesome play call by Kevin Stefanski. You're talking quarterback lead. Look at the emotion from Baker Mayfield, realizing this journey for not only himself, but this whole city, this whole fan base. An awesome moment walking into his tunnel.
Think how long ago 2002 was. That's the last time the Browns were in the playoffs. And so here's the AFC picture. You don't see Kansas City on the screen, of course, because they get the bye. Ravens, it starts with Colts Bills on Saturday. Sunday, our game is Ravens Titans. That's the early spot, ESPN and ABC. Sunday night, these two teams rematch, Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And again, Kansas City gets the bye. So we spent our first hour talking about the Browns. Ryan Clark, my longtime Steeler, let me now come to you. You see the Pittsburgh Steelers going into these playoffs. They didn't play Ben yesterday, so you take that game for what it's worth. Do the Steelers, to you, look like a team that can make a run to the Super Bowl?
Nope, they don't. And that's pretty simple to me. And listen, you know, we saw them play good ball for a half against the Indianapolis Colts, but that team doesn't beat the Buffalo Bills. This team doesn't beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's hard for me to say, but this is the team that doesn't dominate up front offensively. Now, you see they've started to throw the football down the field in the last game and a half, and maybe that's something that can create points like we saw it do early on in the season against the Philadelphia Eagles when we thought, oh my God, this offense has it. Chase Claypool is a revelation. Juju Smith-Schuster working out of the slot. Deontay Johnson making big plays. They haven't been that team. And defensively, they haven't turned the football over like we'd like them to do or like we expected them to do early on in the season. And so for me, this team has played well enough down the stretch to at least say they can win a game this week against the Cleveland Browns. But to say that this team ends up in the Super Bowl would be a stretch even for a dude who desperately wants them to.
Rex, Super Bowl Steelers?
No, Gritty, when you've had, Ryan talked about it, they played one good half in the last five games. I get it, they're 12-4, but they're 1-4 in their last five. They're going the wrong way. This team is not peaking. They're doing just the opposite. So, no, they are not a real threat.
You haven't seen things from them that were encouraging. I actually emerged more encouraged than discouraged, at least from yesterday, the way they fought without Ben and a lot of other players that didn't play. You didn't see it that way.
No. I never saw it that way. And to me, I'm looking at a thing where, look, they can't run the football.
Right.
Their defense is really good, but it's not as good as it's been in the past. So I don't see them going anywhere.
And Dan, let's just give you one moment on the other side here again. Baker Mayfield, the subject of as much conversation as probably any player in the National Football League the last 3 years. What do we say about him today?
He was worthy of the number one pick. You know, when he was taken 3 years ago, he was worthy of the number one pick. I remember this offseason, people going like, what did Rex say?
Josh Allen.
Think of the way they end this game, right? You know, like, look at the play call from Kevin Stefanski. You get that orbit motion. Now you get your tackle on a defensive back. You get your tailback lead blocking. Watch this block by Kareem Hunt. Like, look how good that is. And then Baker, like, let's use you as a little bit of an athlete to go kind of secure that win. And again, I've talked about this emotion right here. Like that right there. That is a year of Baker not being good last year, having way too many commercials and being too loud, not handling failure well enough. Is Baker Mayfield, can he get fired? Is he going to lose his job if he doesn't play well? Are they going to take a quarterback in the first round? And all he does is go out and ball. And he proved he was worthy of the first round pick, that first overall pick.
And there you see it, the QBR 10th in the league this season. Quick break, back with so much more as we continue on this day after the end of the NFL season. Tom Brady and the Bucs looking as good as anybody, but are they ready to go into Green Bay and take down Aaron Rodgers? That and more on the way. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, Rex. You ever have a tight end who can make a catch like this? Get a load of George Kittle with a one-handed grab.
Nope. Nope. I sure haven't. I mean, look at him. Look at this catch. And, oh, by the way, what's he doing playing in a meaningless game? You know why he's playing? He's a pro. Way to go, Kittle.
Exactly. Coaches and Doug Peterson. The NFC playoffs features some of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. Can anybody take down Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau? That's the question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Come on, get up.
We're back on Get Up. Hey, we've got a great night of college basketball for you tomorrow. ACC Big 12. North Carolina takes on Miami at 8 Eastern. Both looking for their first conference win. Then you got Kansas and Fort Worth to take on 9-2 TCU. Good night of hoops coming your way tomorrow here on ESPN. Meanwhile, good day of football yesterday to wrap up Week 17. The storylines were in abundance. The Washington football team defeated the Eagles. All of the controversy that came from the Philadelphia decisions had nothing to do with Washington. Congratulations to them. They win that division at 7-9. They will host Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in the wild card round. It'll mark the first wild card road game in Brady's career. And then Aaron Rodgers and the Packers lopped up the one seed yesterday with a big win. It's the first time they've been the one seed since 2011. They were 15-1 that year. So this is what it looks like. The NFC wildcard round Saturday. Rams travel to Seattle, take on Russell and the Seahawks. Later that night, it's Washington against Tom Brady and the Bucks. And then Sunday, the Bears get Breeze and the Saints in New Orleans. Again, you don't see the Packers there. They get the only bye. And so the big question that we have here is, can anyone beat the Packers, who look red hot right now, and they will have home field advantage and the only bye? Remember, no team without a bye has made it to the Super Bowl since 2012. Now, there have always been two, and now there's only one. RC, can anyone go into that building and beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field?
Yeah, they can go in. I mean, but that's not looking likely. There's not going to be any team in the NFC that, if you had to place your money on it, that you're going to put ahead of the Green Bay Packers or that you think can go into Lambeau and beat them. But no, there's teams that are built for it. The Los Angeles Rams are built for it. We saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers dominate the Green Bay Packers early on in the season. And obviously, you have a team like Russell Wilson in Seattle, New Orleans Saints. But Green Bay's playing at such a high level right now. Their quarterback's confidence, their quarterback's play says that right now he's the best player in football. And we look at the way this defense has come along, it's a scary sight to what they are building in Green Bay and the way that this thing is ascending and really hitting its peak when the playoffs start. They get a break, and now you have the New Orleans Saints who can come in, who can run the football, who can defend, who did finish the season well. But what's Drew Brees going to be like at Lambeau? Can Drew Brees complete passes there? And so when you think about the teams in the NFC, yes, some are built to go in there and compete against the Green Bay Packers, but there isn't anyone I'm betting the house on to beat Aaron Rodgers.
You know, Dan, RC just referenced it. I know October 18th feels like 100 years ago, but on that day, the Buccaneers beat Green Bay 38-10. That has to mean something. How do you see that? If we wind up with a dream matchup, Brady and Rodgers on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, technically that game would probably be in 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. How would you see it?
Yeah, I still think the Packers are a favorite in that football game because they can do the two things that would
kind of minimize the strength of Tampa Bay. They can get after the pass rusher or the passer because they got two really good pass rushers, and then they can play coverage on their back end. Now, that first game was a little bit uncharacteristic, right? We saw the turnovers from Aaron Rodgers, especially early on, and Tom Brady was kept super clean. And then that defense for Tampa Bay, that's, I believe, when Vita Vea, their defensive lineman, was healthy as well.
Yeah.
They got to go hunt. Mm-hmm. They got the lead early on and got to go hunt. This one would be on the road in Green Bay. The defense for Green Bay is completely different now than it was 2 months ago. And again, they can rush the passer, and they got three really good players in their back end that can cover. And so I think that would lead to a strength of Green Bay's offense.
Now, look, Rex, you pointed out earlier, and we discussed it, a terrible loss in practice over the course of last week. The Packers losing their left tackle, David Bakhtiari. That is a major loss. So you think about which team might have the best opportunity to exploit that weakness or that player who is missing. Which team do you give the best shot to go into Lambeau Field and beat Aaron Rodgers?
Well, Greeny, I guess it's like you're saying, it'll be Tampa because it'll be in 2 weeks. We'll see it. They got two good edge rushers. They got to show up big time, just like they did in their first matchup. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not buying it. I mean, as much as I love Tom Brady in the big moment, I'm not buying it. I think Green Bay, I think their defense is, you know, we question it so much earlier in the season. But right now, we don't have those same questions. They're playing so much better on defense and with their fundamentals, the way they're attacking the line of scrimmage up front with their defensive line. And then, like we mentioned, the turnovers in the back end. Jair Alexander's playing outstanding at corner. So to me, I just think Green Bay's the class of the NFC.
RC, I'm looking at that defense the last couple of weeks, particularly what they did to Derrick Henry a week ago in shutting him down. That has been their big weakness, was getting run on. They didn't get run on that Sunday night game in the snow at Lambeau Field. Do you think that defense is ready to go all the way to Tampa?
I do. You know, they didn't have a championship defense this entire year. When you can't stand up to physicality, that's not the type of teams I see make deep runs in the playoffs. But you get Derrick Henry a week ago, and then this week they got David Montgomery, who was playing extremely well over the last three or four games, and they stood up. And then on the back end, you know, you heard Rex mention it, but you have Kevin King, Jair Alexander, and Darnell Savage, and they are playmakers on the back end. They're sticky coverage, and that allows the Smith brothers to get to the quarterback. And so right now they're playing complimentary football, not only as a team, but as a defense. They stop the run, they rush the passer, they cover on the back end. That's a recipe for success defensively, especially when people have to come to the frozen tundra.
And quickly, Dan, just to analyze the play of the quarterback, because I feel like the last couple of weeks, Aaron Rodgers ran away and hid with the MVP award. Through a quarterback's eyes, how would you describe what we saw from Aaron Rodgers this season?
Nearly flawless. I mean, when it comes to the reality of how difficult it is to play the position, I mean, this is the best that Aaron Rodgers has ever played. And I said this before, it's about makes and misses. He just doesn't have a lot of misses, Greeny. He doesn't miss when guys are open, whether it's by scheme or by route running. When they get open, he hits them. And then he makes four or five throws every single game that you go, man, there's just not a lot of guys that can do that. They just don't have, whether it's the athletic talent, the mind talent, or the arm talent to make those throws. And that's what makes him so dangerous right now, is you're looking at a guy, we said this a little bit about Josh Allen, it's certainly about Patrick Mahomes as well. You're looking at a guy that right now doesn't think there's a single throw that he cannot make. And he's referenced it as well. Devontae Adams is playing as good as anybody in the NFL at wide receiver. Right? And so, like, you're talking about a quarterback and a receiver that when they get a play call, they're going, we're good. Nothing you could do. We're going to win. No, you cannot stop this play.
And so we'll see. Again, they will have the only bye week in the NFC. And there's so much to get to today. Let me go on the clock here because I want to get to a bunch of other stories that we haven't had the chance to touch on. And RC, let's talk about the New Orleans Saints. They've sort of flown under the radar. It feels like pretty much the entire year. What is your level of confidence, Ryan Clark, that they can go into Lambeau Field and beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers if at some point they should need to? 30 seconds. Go.
I believe they can win, but it takes a perfect Saints outing. And what I mean by that, the defense has to be dominant. We have to see the defense that went to Tampa Bay. You got to see the defense that was playing with Taysom Hill. And offensively, you have to run with Kamara. It has to be about Latavius Murray. And if Sean Payton can get this mindset that it's going to be physicality up front and understand that this defense is going to have to lock up on the outside and put extreme pressure on Aaron Rodgers, that's the only way that they can win. Because if this game comes down to who's going to drive the football in Green Bay more than Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to have to pick Aaron.
All right, next stop, Rex, is Chicago. The Bears now do make the playoffs despite their loss yesterday. They back in with Arizona losing yesterday. But the question mark there is always the quarterback. 30 seconds. Is Mitch Trubisky the quarterback in Chicago next year? Go.
The only chance he's got of being the quarterback, Greeny, is if they win a playoff game. I don't see it coming. Look, how the heck this quarterback is 6-3 this year as a starting quarterback, 25-13 overall with the combination of head coach, quarterback, but I don't see it. And I'm going to tell you this, Chicago, it better not be Nick Foles. So whoever the heck you're going to replace this young man with, it better not be Nick Foles.
Trubisky will not even have a contract at this point going into next season. They didn't pick up the fifth-year option. Let's see what that winds up being. Meanwhile, Orlovsky, here we come back to you. We haven't touched on the AFC in a little while. Give me a wild card team that you could say making a deep run. 30 seconds, go.
The Baltimore Ravens, because they have the scariest run game going into the playoffs. You know, this run game last year was about pounding the rock. And now it's become spread out football, and it's a three-headed monster. They get J.K. Dobbins out in space, created by that run game. And then Gus Edwards kind of becomes a little bit more of the physical player. And we know Lamar is one of the most electric players in football, and he's kind of gotten into his rhythm. Greeny, in the last five games, this football team has rushed for 1,337 yards. That is the most ever in a five-game stretch in the Super Bowl era. They got a big-time run game heading into the playoffs.
They sort of seem to have found their identity, rediscovered their identity. We'll see. They went in last year as the one seed. This year, they'll have to take the road less traveled. Meanwhile, yesterday was also a day where I feel there was a lot of attention on players earning incentives, and no one paid more attention to it than Emmanuel Sanders. He himself needed 8 catches to reach 60 on the season. That's his 8th catch. If you think he didn't know exactly what that was worth to him, just take a look at the immediate reaction. That was worth a $500,000 bonus. So congratulations to him and his coach, who obviously knew it. Rex, when you were your coach, you were aware of those things, right? How does that work?
Oh, my goodness. I got to bring up a story. I had a guy Terrell Suggs, we all know, soon to be Hall of Fame player. But he had a bonus now. You want to talk, that's $500,000 is great. How about, I mean, I believe it was $5 million bonus.
Who done
all he needed
that?
Was one sack. Well, because it was over his career. It's like 4 years. He had to have 40 sacks. So it came down to the last game. He needed one sack. Here it comes right here against J.P. Losman. He's going to get it. Now, if you could zoom up on his face, all the teammates know. We all know about it. Yes, was there some talk that there was going to be, I don't know, a call to an agent or something like this? But this dude was bawling on the sideline. It was hilarious. And it was like, pay the man right there, dude. I'm just telling you.
And Dan Orlovsky, I'm sure as a quarterback, you had great memories of times that you hit big incentives.
Yeah, Greeny, big time. You know, 2011, I was with the Colts, and we were really, really, really bad. I get to start the last 4 or 5 games of the season. And it's a Thursday night football game. We're playing, I think, the 2 or 3 seed was the Houston Texans. I throw a game-winning touchdown pass to Reggie Wayne. And there's like 30 seconds left on the clock. And this is kind of in between where I'm like, am I going to get the opportunity to be a starter in the NFL or am I just going to be a backup? And I remember that last 30 seconds standing on the sideline and I'm with Pat McAfee and I'm like, dude, this is a huge moment. And Pat's like, Dan, if they don't score here and we win this game, you're definitely getting your big money contract this offseason. You're going to get starting quarterback money. And I'm like, you know what, Pat? You're right. I'm going to finally get my starting quarterback money. And all of a sudden, they don't score. We win the game in February. The following offseason comes around. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offered me like 2 years for $4 million. And I was like, well, I guess that starting quarterback money never came.
RC, you got any incentives? Did you have incentives in your contract?
Oh, no. See, my incentive was the fact that Troy was going to get incentives, and then when he hit those incentives, he was going to fly me to the Pro Bowl with him and take me out to eat and stuff. That was my incentive.
Your incentive was basically on the Palomalu plan, one way or another.
Yes, sir.
Right, we'll take a quick break. I had ratings incentives once a long time ago, but let's not get there. As we continue in just a moment, plenty of misery to go around after Week 17 in the NFL, but I will tell you, who was unquestionably the biggest loser in the NFL was someone who did not even take the field. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on Get Up, tomorrow's a big night. The Heisman, 7 Eastern, the 86th annual trophy ceremony, first ever virtual. The four finalists, the two Alabama kids, Mac Jones and Devontae Smith, Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, and Florida's Kyle Trask. Find out who wins tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, on ESPN. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio. This is Get Up on ESPN. Greeny, Rex Ryan, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark are here with you, commercial-free, for the next 12 minutes, taking you through some more of the NFL action and the fallout from it yesterday. And then First Take will follow us, and they're talking football, too. How upset should the Giant fans be today at Doug Peterson? Certainly Max will answer that question. And do the Cowboys deserve a pass because of this Dak injury? Stephen A., Max, and Molly debating all that and more when they join us at the top of the hour. Meanwhile, Shefty joins us now. Adam Schefter, let's run the hurry up through a bunch of topics today, starting in Jacksonville.
Greeny, a short time ago, the Jacksonville Jaguars fired Doug Marrone, parted ways with him, moved on, leaving themselves with ideally maybe the best situation in the NFL. Jacksonville has the number one pick, 11 overall draft picks, over $100 million in cap space, and they now have openings at the head coaching position thanks to moving on from Doug Marrone and the general manager position. The New York Jets made a similar move last night, moving on from their head coach, Adam Gase. Everybody expected this. It was just a question of when. He met with the Jets CEO, Christopher Johnson, last night and was given the word the Jets now will launch a new search for a new head coach. But really, it comes down to what they're also going to do with the number two overall pick. Will they take a quarterback there and trade Sam Darnold, or will they trade Sam Darnold and take a quarterback at two? Big trade coming from the Jets. And a short time ago, the Cincinnati Bengals announced that Zach Taylor will return next season for his third season in Cincinnati. It's been a struggle there, but the Bengals are hoping that with the return of Joe Burrow, with bolstering that offensive line, that the Bengals will be able to compete in a tough division that now has the Cleveland Browns making the playoffs, the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs. The Bengals are the only team in the North not to make the playoffs, but Zach Taylor will return next season, Greeny.
That's right. He did win two of his last three games, and he lost his quarterback during the season, so I don't consider that one to be a huge surprise. I know we're keeping an eye on a few other places. Shefty, we'll keep you close on that. Meanwhile, let's go to what was maybe the performance of the day yesterday, at least the moment of the day yesterday. Titans, Texans. Titans, winning your in. Derrick Henry looking to become the rushing champion. Third quarter, Titans up by 9. And look at Derrick Henry go, Dan Orlovsky.
The big chunk of the offensive line. And then this is what Derrick Henry does best, like get his feet going downhill, his body going downhill, get that big frame running at that defensive front, and then the ability to finish on those runs.
He ran for 250 yesterday. He went over 2,000 yards, only the eighth player to do it. But with his team up 16 points, or in this case, it was up 10, the Titans and Henry with the fumble, the Texans recover. And now all of a sudden, Deshaun Watson, who ironically played the entire game, is cooking. Dan, how good was he yesterday?
Greeny, that throw is out of this world. I mean, just that touch to kind of little rainbow throw for that touchdown is sick.
Now the back and forth then would continue. What a game this was. Ryan Tannehill taking it in himself. Titans retake the lead at 38-35. But then it was Watson's chance to respond. And he does it just brilliantly here, Dan Orlovsky.
You see the ability to move in the pocket, the athleticism, that throw. I have no idea how his body's going one way. Flick it the other way to find David Johnson and then his ability to run after the catch.
He probably had the best year of any 4-12 quarterback in NFL history. Then here's Watson looking for Kiki Cutie on the sideline. He finished with 365 yards passing and three touchdowns. That would set up Kynie Fairbairn, 51 yards, and it's good. With 18 seconds left, they tie the game. But they left 18 ticks on the clock. Orlovsky, how about this play?
This is unbelievable by Tannehill. The timing, the touch, the air, the placement. A.J. Brown going to chase that ball down. Watch the safety cut. Throw that big ball in that post. An outstanding play by those two.
Now, Greg Williams called that defense. I don't know. One way or another, it sets up this. Sam Sloman with the Stoy blank, and it's good. He knocks it in off the upright and through. Watch his face. He thought he missed it for sure, but then it goes, and with that, the Titans, who their special teams were an adventure all year long, sort of an ironic way for it to end there. They win the AFC South 41-38, and this is what it leaves us with in the AFC wildcard picture. Colts, Bills on Saturday. Sunday, Ravens, Titans. That's our game in the early slot, ESPN and ABC. Then Sunday night, Browns, Steelers, Cleveland looking for its first playoff win since 1994. And again, you don't see the Chiefs on there because they get the one seed and the only bye. Okay, let's look back on this in big picture. Ryan Clark, who is your biggest winner coming out of Week 17?
The Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns are my biggest winner because they needed to get into the playoffs. They were at a spot with 2 weeks to go that they could have won the AFC North. And you get COVID hits, you can't go to practice, you lose to the Jets, you're playing a team in the Pittsburgh Steelers, not starting their quarterback, and you had to get there. This is a city, this is an organization that for 20 years they've been trying to get back to this point, 18, and they finally do. They have their coach, they have their QB.
Rex Ryan, who's your biggest winner?
The Green Bay Packers, Greeny. And I'll tell you why. Number one, I think it's so critical to have that first round bye. They earned it. And during the course of the season, they became a complete football team. And they play complimentary football, offense, defense, special teams. And I just think it's going to be hard to beat this team in Green Bay. So they're my big winners.
They get that bye in the NFC. Dan, who is your biggest loser this weekend?
The Dallas Cowboys. I mean, the fact that in this game, Pettis makes this catch and Mike McCarthy and his staff don't think, hey, we have to challenge that, is unbelievable. And then when they score and go down 20-15 and don't kick two or go for two and kick the extra point to go down by four is unbelievable. They are super fortunate that the Washington football team won yesterday or we'd be crushing them because of Mike McCarthy.
And they're also super fortunate that the Eagles did what they did yesterday because it took all of the attention away from them. That's my big loser. In particular, Carson Wentz, a man with a $100 million contract who was a healthy scratch the last weekend of the season, and I hope he was watching what Deshaun Watson did yesterday. How about Matthew Stafford out there with a variety of injuries playing a meaningless game at the end of the season? But you know why? Because to football players, these games aren't meaningless. This isn't the NBA where they have load management. It isn't baseball where they shut down the starters at the end of the season. Your football team played a game yesterday. You get paid $100 million. I don't care how sad you are that they've benched you, which you richly deserved. You should have been out there with your team yesterday. But of course, all the steam was taken from that, as I'd like to bring the group in on the conversation, because it was going to be Carson Wentz, and then candidly, the entire organization disgraced itself with the way they handle it going forward. So how in the world do we sum this thing up? Well, actually, I have Shefty. So let's start with that. The story that you and Mort had early in the day yesterday about the relationship between Wentz and Doug Peterson, that kind of started the day on that tone.
Well, Chris Mortensen reported that there's a fractured relationship there with Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz that is, in Mort's reporting, beyond repair. Now, we'll see where that goes during the offseason, but I think a lot of people around the league believe that it's ultimately going to lead to Carson Wentz being traded out of Philadelphia and the Eagles handing their starting job to Jalen Hurts, with Carson Wentz moving on to a situation that he desires more than the one in Philadelphia. Now, he's been quiet about this. It's not like he's gone out and publicly pouted. That's the job of reporters. That's what Mort did here. He found out what the situation is behind the scenes. Carson Wentz is not to be blamed there, in my mind. That's basically Mort reporting what he knows. And what he knows is Carson Wentz is going to want out. That's the basic facts of the situation. And so the Eagles now will be left to figure out what's best for their franchise going forward, whether they're ready and prepared to hand off their job to Jalen Hurts, which is why it was a little surprising not to leave him in a game that's on prime time against a division rival to see what he's like in that type of environment, which they didn't do. They turned it over to Nate Sudfeld at that point in time and essentially handed the division title to the WFT at that point. So we'll see how they handle it, but clearly there are a host of issues to address in what was an ugly season in Philadelphia, in which they were the only team in the division that had a returning coach that had an advantage in a COVID season where there were no offseason programs and the work was done virtually, and they couldn't take advantage of it and ended a season where players fought and battled the way that the Eagles did last night.
It was a terrible look all the way around. And so, Dan Orlovsky, let me come to you. How would you describe the way they handled last night, pulling Jalen Hurts as they did in that fourth quarter to get Nate Sudfeld some snaps? How would you describe that?
I thought it was a mockery. You know, like, I get it. I get what the move does when it comes to your pick going from 9-6. I get all that. But you could have just said, you know what, Nate Sudfeld, you're going to start the whole game. Or Nate Sudfeld, you're going to start the whole second half. That's our plan. We want to see you get reps. But in the moment, that's what makes it look so bad. Like, it's a three-point game. If you're down 14 and you make the move, cool. If you're up 10 and you make the move, it makes a lot more sense. But in the moment, you're going, wait, how can you be doing this? How did you ask me to practice and prepare and get ready to play a game and then do this? Like, why did we do all that? Why is Slay still in the game and Ertz still in the game? So the situation of the game is what makes it so interesting or odd to me. Greeny, I would say this about the Wentz situation, because I know Shefty said that Carson hasn't come out and said, like, anything about the report. That's what's interesting to me. Because if that was said about me, like if the report was said that I didn't get along with somebody, I would want to come out and say that that's not true, that those reports aren't accurate, especially in the era of social media, right? I could make a quick Twitter post or Instagram post like, hey, there's a lot of being said about me. That's not true. Until you hear it from my mouth, don't believe it. And the fact that he hasn't done that leads me to believe that Shefty and Mort's reports are accurate. And I think the reality is this: trust takes years to build. It takes seconds to break and forever to repair. And I have said for 4 weeks now that I don't think that could happen in Philly.
RC, how about the Jalen Hurts of it all last night?
I mean, that's tough for Jalen Hurts, right? Like, you're playing on a team where a coach predetermines because a guy has been here for 4 years, he deserves to play like it's senior night. That's not the way the NFL works. And the way that Jalen Hurts is trying to show that I'm a franchise guy, I'm a dude that you can move forward with, doesn't give him that opportunity. We talk about this with Tua Tagovailoa, but at least he was being replaced by Ryan Fitzpatrick, a guy who could win the game. This turned into watching the Denver Broncos offense weeks ago when everybody in their quarterback room was under COVID protocol. This was a bad look. This was a bad move. And now you go into the offseason, to me, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, with more questions about your quarterback position than you could have had if you let Jalen Hurts finish that game. Maybe you get some answers about who your quarterback of the future was, and now you don't. And so not only was it a disgrace, not only did you not play the game to win, but you actually put your organization in a worse spot than it was before the game started.
Rex, final thought.
Yeah, I think it raises questions on whether Doug Peterson will be here now. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, I mean, I think he's a heck of a football coach, but it was a horrible moment for him when he did it. And as a fan of the NFL, I mean, I was mortified by what I saw. I thought it was ridiculous. And, I mean, you're right. Washington won that game the minute you put Sudfeld in the game. It was I don't want to say the word I was going
to
use.
It was a crazy ending to a crazy season. Shefty will have breaking news all day long. Stay close. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.